This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This is Spike Lee, and the Michael K. Show starts now. 98.7 ESPN.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Friday, May 21st, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're all apart for the next 4.5 hours, but we're together, essentially. The other 19 and a half, well, they're your responsibility. Hope everybody's doing well. I'm trying out a new character today, guys. I didn't even warn you about it.
Really?
But this is going to be nice, gregarious, joyful Mike.
I'm joyful and fun.
Yeah, that's me today. And I think that's going to be me moving forward.
Well, to be fair, this Michael does come out on Fridays occasionally.
Yeah.
So the harder test is going to be like random
Monday.
Tuesday.
Yeah. Ooh-wee-wee. You know what? Because I thought about yesterday's show, which I was only on for an hour and a half after the Yankee game, and we have a producer that does the games on Yes. His name is Troy Benjamin. He has buddies that are real fans of the show.
He's a great guy.
And also the Yankee games. And he said to me, his buddies always ask him, what's Michael K. like? And Troy goes, he's like one of the nicest guys I've ever met in this business. And they go, really? And it's the really that gets me. Do I put across something that I'm not a nice guy? And we get it. Don gets it from people. Peter, you get it from people. I'm a nice guy. I'm not going to be heel K anymore. I'm going to be absolutely a sweetheart. Well, you guys could play the heel roles. I'm just going to be the guy I am in real life.
Why don't you just be yourself?
I am myself. I think sometimes I try to be, because I'm leading the band, I'm Sully, whatever the case may be, and I try to agitate. No more. I'm just going to be that guy. I'm going to lean against the mic and be that guy.
Well, but hold on. Let's you know what? It's a Friday. We have a lot of basketball. We have
a
bacchanal of tickets to give away today.
Big ticket Friday.
Yeah, we have a lot. Let me just say this, though. While we're lifting up the curtain here a bit, it's interesting you bring this up because I'm the one who really derailed yesterday. And, in fact, I spent some time in therapy today talking about that moment yesterday because I'm not proud when I am provocated to the point of saying something that I think is not who I am. But I will say there are times when, you know, you're having the wrong – and this is what I'm trying to get to about you. Sometimes you're having a day, and on that day when people push your buttons, it can send you over the edge. And it requires sort of a recalibration.
Calibration.
A calibration to make sure you don't do it again. So I appreciate it that you want to do that. I would like to do the same, even though I don't feel at all bad for the caller who I went off on yesterday. I wouldn't want people to think that my response is the way that I view the world. Like, hey, look at me. I do so well, blah, blah, blah. That's not – I only did that out of desperation.
But you tell us that off the air.
No, it's not true. I do that out of desperation because when you continuously have people's number one argument – like, I made an argument that you can disagree with or agree with about no-hitters yesterday. If the only way you can come at me is – you like wrestling, so everything you believe is invalid. That it's a really, while some days it rolls off my back, yesterday, that in conjunction with him calling me a moron.
Peter, you're a moron!
That combo led to me acting out. So I'd like to apologize, not to him, because he was a nozzle, but to the rest of the audience for showing that.
So you said something on the air yesterday and essentially cost yourself $500 in therapy today.
Not 500, but I wasted probably a good 10 minutes on that.
There's so much more to work on, Peter.
And then I was doing the Cheap Heat podcast earlier, and I said, I'm gonna play this for the Cheap Heat audience because they're a wrestling crowd and see if I was a bad guy. And then I listened back to it, and I didn't feel as bad as I did yesterday after the show.
You should have.
He was such a jerk.
But here's the deal, and Don's the only one who's really the right guy to speak on this. Not you, Peter, because we've only known each other 5 or 6 years. I'm not the guy everybody thinks I am that comes out of the speakers. Now, yeah, I'm a little bit of a curmudgeon, Don, but I'm not the guy everybody thinks that they're hearing out of the speakers. So I must not be doing my job well. That's all I'm saying.
That's
know I'm a
conclusion.
Better guy than people think.
I think that it's all just perception, not reality. You're a tremendous person.
and also have little to no ego to allow, you know, me to blossom on the show the way that I have over the last going on 20 years, because you don't have to hog the mic and you don't have to feel like you're superior to everybody else, like a lot of hosts that I've had to deal with during my career that didn't allow me to do that.
Gonna need some names.
No.
I thought I'd try.
I mean, I mentioned the names of the people that did allow me. Joe Benigno would be one of those guys, like you, that allowed me that opportunity. And some of them weren't bad guys. It's just that they, you know, they didn't look at me as anything other than the update guy or the yo-yo that just happens to be sitting there. But I think that when you do a show, all the different sides of you are going to come out. But people already have a preconceived notion of you. You're Michael Kay. You're bigger than life. You're the voice of the Yankees. He's got to be a bad guy. He's got to be an egomaniac. He must be impossible to deal with. And I tell people, no, you're tremendous. And a lot of them are surprised because they figure anybody sitting in your seat would be difficult to deal with, would be hard to work with. So I think it's just perception. It's not the reality. Yeah, sometimes you have good days. Sometimes you have bad days. Just be yourself and don't worry about it. So don't say character. No, there's no characters. This is who we are.
Yeah,
and let people decide what they want to decide. But I think for you, because of your fame and where you are, they just assume he must be a bad guy. Because anybody that's got that much going on, it's got to be a bad guy, right? No, he's not a bad guy.
Yeah, I've got to change, though. But I appreciate those nice words, Don. I do have to change. I do. I'm going to present a better side of myself. Let's put it that way. You're right. The word character is wrong. I'll present my better self.
Trying too hard, bro.
I'm always trying.
Just be Michael Kay. Just be whoever you are on that given day. Nobody's the same every single day.
I woke up today, though. I woke up today, and I couldn't believe what I read. Phil Mushnick complimented me.
What? Okay. There's something going on here.
No, he did. I don't think Phil's a big fan of
Phil.
I don't think Phil's a big fan of me.
Someone should check on him.
Me or Phil?
No, Phil. He may not be all right.
I was stunned. He complimented my call on the Kluber no-hitter, the one that you ripped. So that now it kind of
makes
sense.
Oh, okay. He said, nice take on yes from Michael Kay with Wednesday's final out. Corey Kluber becomes part of forever. Oh, just one line.
Yeah, but you know what? That's better than eight paragraphs. He stinks, he smells, and his wife's not good looking. That's better than that.
But I got to tell you, Michael, I'm sorry. I don't want to poo-poo this compliment.
I'm not.
Let me talk to Don about this. Let me talk to Don, because I don't want to get you involved in this. But Don, isn't it nuts that of all the things Michael does, particularly on this job, but both jobs, that are worthy of a compliment, the random Corey Kluber becomes part of forever is the thing that gets a shout out? What else would you expect Michael to say?
Well, no one's ever said that before for a no-hitter.
Becomes part of forever?
Yeah.
You came up with those words?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, were you doubling down on it, Peter?
No.
Like I copied somebody else's call. Today. Please follow another. Find me another call where they said part of forever, and then I'll say, you know what, I stole it.
Oh, there's definitely part of forever calls. Of course,
I'd like to hear it. Come up with it. Don't give me a supposition.
Hold on. I'm not suggesting that you copycatted this. I just think you do things that are brilliant on the radio all the time, and they're ignored or attacked even
worse.
Why
don't you back off? I get a rare compliment from a guy who thinks that I'm the worst thing ever, and now you're gonna spar with him? Stop it.
It's too late. I already know in my mind one of those gas bags tomorrow is going to write about me being a horrible human being for yesterday's outburst. I'm sure of it.
Well, it'll probably be Raceman. Anyway, the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN, unless Don calls him, on 98.7 ESPN
Thanks,
is brought
Don.
To you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We got a lot of hoops to talk about today because it's a big weekend. And that's not hyperbole. Think about it. When's the last time that the New York metro area was as gripped about the basketball teams in this town for one weekend? Tomorrow, it's going to be the Nets against the Celtics. And then at the Garden with 15,000 people at Madison Square Garden on Sunday, it's going to be the Knicks against the Hawks. Game one of both of those teams' playoff series. And I think that people are engaged. They are into it. And because of that, this is a big, and you can capitalize the B, capitalize the I, capitalize the G, a big ticket Friday. In a moment, soon, will give away Nets game one tickets. Later in the show, Knicks game one tickets.
Okay.
And not, and just because we're not all about the foot, the basketball, we're going to give away Jets season opener tickets. And then later in the show, all the 10 people that won the pairs of tickets on DCR and on our show, we are going to choose one of those 10 and make their day. We are going to give them, one of those 10 pairs is going to win season tickets to the Jets, who I have predicted will go 10-7 this year. Don and Peter, not so rosy a prediction.
7-10, I think we had.
Right.
Or 6-11, I forget. But
yeah, I think it was 6-11. I'm 10-7 because that was in the always famous, never boring win-loss-win game. All right, so let's settle in.
Shall we?
The 2021 NBA playoffs are coming to Brooklyn, and tickets for round one are on sale now. So make sure you're at Barclays Center to see the Brooklyn Nets take on the Boston Celtics. Visit brooklynnets.com to purchase your tickets today. And keep it locked in to the Michael Kay Show. We are going to give away a pair of Nets tickets for game one. You know when? Ask me when, Peter.
When are we doing that?
Later this hour.
Wow.
Big.
Wow.
Ticket Friday.
All right.
All right. Nets Celtics, Knicks Hawks. What are you more intrigued about? What are you more looking forward to? I'll tell you what. I've been into the Knicks since about the second month of the season. I could see that things were different. And I think the Knicks have a legitimate shot to beat the Atlanta Hawks. But for some reason, to me, and I think Don and Peter might disagree, this Nets journey that starts tomorrow intrigues me to no end. Because to me, this is a team that was built to win the championship this year or next. So when you hear phrases like championship or bust, what does it really mean? Well, with the Nets, it means something because all three of the big three, they could actually leave at some point in the next year or two. So either it gets done this year or next, or it doesn't get done. So this, to me, is a championship or bust run that starts tomorrow at Barclays Center against the Celtics. Now, if they don't get hurt, I think the Nets will win the title this year. But I also feel it's an incredible, incredible test of chemistry. 8 games, the top 3 scorers have played together. Never in the history of the NBA have the top 3 scorers on a team played so few games together and won a title. I think the Nets will defy that. I think that their brilliant talent will get them through that. And I believe that if they stay healthy, they should. Now, this is where people will argue with me. They should waltz into the NBA Finals. They should waltz into it. Now, as for the Knicks, I'll give you my picks. I think that the Nets are going to beat the Celtics in 5 games. I think the Knicks are going to beat the Hawks in 6 games. But the Hawks are not without – the Hawks series is not without peril because they're good. They're good. They've been really good since Nate McMillan took over, and they've got talent. And if you just break it down, person by person, position by position, the Hawks have more talent than the Knicks. But the Knicks do, when they make that cliche, you know, we're 15 – they do play a role, every single one of them. And as a team, I think they are better than the Hawks. And I think the fact that the first 2 games at the Garden are going to have 15,000 people in that building, which will be the largest indoor crowd since the pandemic began last March of 2020, I think that's going to be a huge home court advantage. So give me the Knicks, give me the Nets, and let's roll. I think it's going to be great, guys.
I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. I there's a lot of intrigue to me. You know, listen, the Nets-Celtics series, now, could I believe that there's some weird thing that happens, Michael, where, like, Tatum's on fire in game one, it takes the Nets a little bit of time to gel, the Celtics shockingly go up 1-0, and then all of a sudden it feels intriguing? Okay. Yeah, that's an outside possibility. But by and large, what I'm really looking for is this Knicks series. And I'll tell you, I am curious about what Russell Westbrook and the Wizards do against the Sixers. Westbrook hates Embiid. And by the way, Michael, the Wizards showed up last night.
Yes, they did.
144 points, was that what it was? What a snooze of a game. felt bad that that's what they brought back the czar for. But I am interested to see. Now, Andrew, do you feel that the Wizards can do anything to disrupt the Sixers, or is this an easy roll?
I am slightly nervous. Now, that might just be my personality. Like, I might be nervous if the Sixers were playing the Magic or Pistons. So I may be a bad person to gauge off of. But I was not thrilled when I saw the Wizards win last night.
Yeah, you wanted that Caris LeVert-less Pacers. Of course you did.
Yeah, and like you just said, I mean, Bradley Beal, the Sixers are really good defensively, top two or three. Bradley Beal scored 60 against them earlier this season in a game. You mentioned Westbrook truly hating Embiid. Angry Westbrook is not a guy I love thinking about going up against in a playoff series. I still think the Sixers win, but I don't think it's a typical 1-8 cakewalk.
Russell Westbrook plays like a maniac. Mike, I don't know if you didn't watch any. Oh, yeah. No, you weren't working last night. Did you watch any?
No, I didn't watch it.
I
just watched highlights.
I have never seen a dude who plays with the sort of energy Westbrook plays through an entire game with. It's crazy. But listen, the Hawks-Knicks series, I really think, is more of a toss-up than we're giving it credit for, because we all are like, we've been following the Knicks story. Randall's been so great. It's playoff time. Let's go. Guys, in reality, I would not remotely be surprised to see a complete seven-game duel in that series.
Well, that's the hope, right? I mean, obviously, if you don't have a dog in the fight, you just want to see a great series. But, you know, to me, this is way more intriguing than the Nets, because, like Michael said, it should be a cakewalk for them to get to the final. So it's going to be hard for me to be focused on a first-round matchup. Now, as Peter said, if they were to lose game one, I think there could end up being a lot of focus. Like, what's wrong? Remember when LeBron lost to the Blazers in game one last year? It was, oh, look out, something's up here. And obviously LeBron pretty much coasted the rest of the way. But I think that the feeling is that the Nets are not going to be tested by anybody until they get probably to the conference final, if that. And maybe not till the NBA Finals. So it's really hard to get excited about a series that should end in a four-game sweep or five games, where the Knicks are intriguing to me because it's not a fait accompli who's going to win this series, even though Knicks fans are really happy about the matchup. But to see the Knicks in the playoffs for the first time in 8 years, to see the atmosphere at Madison Square Garden, to see if this team can do what they did in the regular season and down the stretch in the playoffs, because it's a completely different animal. To me, that's far more intriguing than a first-round matchup for a team that really is probably not going to get tested, if at all, until the final.
I think it's going to be great. I think the atmosphere at the Garden on Sunday is going to be amazing. I'm not sure what the atmosphere at Barclays Center is going to be. It has not yet sold out. The Knicks games 1 and 2 are sold out. And while it was supposed to be 13,000, now it's 15,000, because what James Dolan did was he made a businessman decision. You know what? If you're vaccinated, we could have you seat by seat. We don't have to separate. Without separation, we get more people in here. So 90% of that arena is going to be vaccinated individuals. And that makes it a bigger capacity. So this is a team that in every home game this year was playing in front of 1,980 people. And from people that were at the arena told me that that was an incredible atmosphere. Now, let's times it by about 7. And 15,000 people are going to be at the Garden. Again, the largest indoor crowd since the pandemic began. And people are getting back to normal. People have been starving for the Knicks for the longest time. People have been starving for this sort of an event since March 12th of last year. And they get it at the Garden on Sunday. Hopefully they'll get a great atmosphere at Barclays Center on Saturday. From what I heard, Don, the atmosphere at the Coliseum yesterday, I think they split the arena in half, vaccinated half, and then there was a non-vaccinated half, and the Islanders lost a tough game 2-1. But I think the Knicks on the court at Madison Square Garden in front of 15,000 people, that's going to be a different animal.
Yeah, it's going to be like night and day. And we'll see how the Knicks deal with that, because there is a difference between the regular season and the postseason, and are they ready for that? But that's what's so intriguing to me, because there's so much on the line. This is the matchup they wanted. They've got home court advantage, and now they can take that big step to get into the second round. That's what makes this just so much fun. And we've been waiting for this. We've known it for a while. They were a playoff team. They were able to get that 4 seed, and it really broke exactly the way they wanted it to break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was never a possibility of being a 3 seed, and it was never really a possibility of them dropping to the play-in down the last couple of weeks. So it was, are they going to be 4? Are they going to be 5? Are they going to be 6? And And now they got the matchup. Now they got the home court. And now the news comes that they're almost going to have a full building. It's right there for them. And it should be just a lot of fun. It's been a long time. And I didn't have this same feel that I had in 2013 for some reason. Now, maybe that's revisionist history, whatever. But I looking back, and we did remotes from the Garden in that Celtics series and that Pacers series, Michael. So we were there. It didn't feel the same as this does. Maybe it's because of the pandemic. Maybe it's because there's a more of a future feel to this team, where that Nick team with Carmelo was kind of a, all right, let's win now kind of mode. But this just feels different. This is hitting different, and that's going to make it a lot of fun.
Now, Peter, I'm wondering, I was listening to Barton Hahn with Carlin filling in for Alan, who was doing KJZ for Zubin, and Bart, floated this theory that the Wizards wanted no part of the Nets, and that's why they lost so easily to the Celtics. And they were a different team yesterday, knowing that they don't have a great chance against the Sixers, but they have a much better chance against the Sixers than they would against the Nets, even though the Sixers were the number one seed. So by losing the one game against the Celtics, knowing that they could win the next day and get into the 1-8 game, do you buy that at all?
They were much better yesterday.
And a different team.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they almost hit 150 points. And can I tell you what? I mean, Bradley Beal got bumped a little bit and had one moment where he looked a little nicked up. By and large, Beal looked fine. I mean, I don't think it's insane, because that Celtics-Wizards game had no pace to it whatsoever. They just, sat around 12 down the entire game practically, which is so un-NBA-like and so un-Wizards-like the second half of the season. So I don't think that's an absolute impossibility. Not at all.
I think that's dangerous, though, man.
What,
now,
playing that
game? I understand the Embiid and the Westbrook hatred, and that adds a level to it that you wouldn't have with Brooklyn. But I don't know that, you want to lose that game. Who knows what happens in the second game? But it worked out. If that was their plan, it worked out. But what an insult to the Sixers, who finished ahead of the Nets, and the Wizards want the Sixers and they didn't want the Nets. Well, we'll see. Now, we're going to talk to Sean Marks, the GM who built this team in Brooklyn. He's going to join us at 4. And for those that are men of a certain age, women of a certain age, we're going to have on a guy at 3 o'clock that I think a lot of you know. And that is probably the most influential.
Thank you.
Not you. Influential basketball columnist, I think, in the history of the game. And that's Peter Vesey, who's now doing a podcast with a lot of the older players that he covered. So we're going to talk to Peter about that podcast with guys like Dr. J and Earl Monroe and all of that stuff, which is being received great. But I thought, what a great weekend and what a great Friday to dial it back just a little bit and talk to Peter Vesey. Again, guys in the 50s and 60s, gals in their 50s and 60s who love basketball, even in their 40s. Peter Vesey, you read Peter Vesey in the Post every time that column was in there like it was the Holy Screed. That's how important that was. So,
well, also for me, I'm 41, Michael, and Vesey was on NBC.
That's true.
I grew up with him being one of the insiders that would talk on basketball.
Oh, the insider. He was unbelievable on NBC. And on a personal note, he and my uncle played as big a role in me being where I am today. And my uncle obviously had, we shared blood. But Peter Vesey had no knowledge of me before I walked up to him at Madison Square Garden as a 19-year-old at Fordham, and asked him if he'd come on my radio show at 11 o'clock at night on a Sunday until 2. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, you got to pick me up, drive me there, and give me a cherry pie. And he went with somebody that he had no idea about. And he sat there and answered questions on a college radio station for 3 hours. I will be forever grateful for the help that he gave me. I know that he gave Mike Breen a tremendous amount of help as well. He was unbelievable to young people that had interest in basketball. So I can't wait to talk to Peter at 3 o'clock. So we have a lot of stuff to do. It's a big ticket Friday, as we mentioned. Net tickets, Knick tickets, Jet season tickets. Why would you go anywhere? I mean, the question is, why would you go anywhere else anyway, even if we weren't giving away anything? But these are like little added bonuses for you to be part of the Carmy, the K Army. 1-800-919-3776. And to top things off, and to top the hour off, I believe Don has another list.
That's right.
The list are becoming so big, Don, because of you. Now, Stephen A. is doing it on his TV show.
I saw that.
Wait, but nobody does it like you.
What? Come on. Greeny and Steven?
Yeah. I mean, this is what I parallel it to. There's no hamburger like White Castle.
Sure.
No.
I mean, damn.
There's nothing like it. People try. Like, White Tower came around for a while. I don't know if you remember that, Don.
Sure.
It wasn't White Castle.
No.
So anybody could do lists, but nobody does them like Don. All due respect to guys we love like Greeny and Stephen A., but these are full-on heist of Don's programming idea. So why deal with the rest when you can really listen to the best at 2:45?
Well,
nobody
you.
Does a list like Don.
We got a fun one today.
All right. So settle in. It's going to be quite a ride till 6:30 today. A lot of stuff to do, a lot of stuff to talk about. We'll sprinkle in some baseball as well. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. Your phone calls next right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, so this is a big show. Before I even tell you what we just booked, I think Don and Peter are going to be excited about this. So if they're excited about it, can you imagine how you're going to feel? I sit back, towel off even before I tell you this, because you're going to need that towel. You know who we have on at 3:30 today?
Who's that?
You have no idea, do you?
No.
Who's the... I don't even want to quiz you. I'm just going to say it. Tom Thibodeau
Tom
of the Knicks.
Thibodeau.
Nice.
Thibodeau at 3:30. How about that?
Good get.
Great get. Sean Marks, Nets GM. Tom Thibodeau, Knicks coach. Head coach. I think coach of the year. I'm excited. The show keeps getting better and better and better. You know, Summer Fridays with the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN are brought to you by New Mike's Hard Lemonade Seltzer. 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, and gluten-free. It's unbelievable. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. And we start with Josh in Rockland. Josh.
Good afternoon, at the real Michael Kay, Don LaGreca, and Peter Rosenberg. You're listening very well. The number one story in NYC, in the Mecca. It ain't the Yankees, it ain't the Nets, and it ain't the Jets. It's my New York Knickerbockers, and it starts to put some respect on our name. The only thing more disgusting and a disrespect my New York Knickerbockers have received is the relationship between DiPietro and Michael Kay. With exception for that, there was nothing more disgusting or disrespectful than the way my New York Knicks have been treated. And you'll best believe that I believe that my New York Knickerbockers are going to beat the Atlanta Hawks, and they're going to do something in this year's playoff. Time to put some respect on our name. Thank you very much.
Wow. Made no sense. There's been an incredible amount of respect on the Knicks. Let's go to Sal in Long Island. Sal.
Hey, Michael, Don, Peter. Happy Friday.
How you doing? What's
up, Sal?
Let me just say one. Josh, no more caffeine, all right?
Wow. I think it's more than caffeine, my friend.
Michael, a couple things. The Peter Vesey thing, you're so right about that. I remember when Bin Laden was killed. I didn't even know about it until after I read Vesey. That's the God's honest truth. That's the first thing I do in the morning. Go right there. Right to Vesey, then I worry about everything else.
Well, you'll hear him at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I can't wait. And second thing, I'm one of 15,000 going Sunday. There's four of us. I can't believe it. I am so excited. I haven't gone to a game since Starks dunked on the Bulls. That was the last time I went to the Garden. But, Michael,
wow.
I had my shots. I'm deadly afraid. You know, I'm 65. I got health problems. But I still got to make it to the Guard. But I'm so scared. I really am.
What are you scared about, bud? What are you scared about?
Well,
I
haven't been in Manhattan in a while. And then, you know, I'm going to be missing more than 15,000 people I'm going to be in.
Right.
I mean, but I know once I get to the game, I'm going to forget that.
Listen, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a doctor. And I could just say, you know, it seems like the shots work, buddy. So just try to enjoy yourself.
Yeah, well, you know what scared me with the, when it happened to the Yankees after they had gotten their shots.
Yeah, but here's, really... here's what you shouldn't be worried about, though, because I've read a lot of reports from medical professionals on that. Everybody says, well, the shots didn't work. Well, none of them really got sick, so the shots worked. There was no guarantee that you wouldn't get it. Even with the Pfizer and the Moderna, there's no guarantee that you won't get it. I mean, it's less of a chance than with the Johnson & Johnson, but none of them got really ill. And isn't that the most important thing? Which means it's working. So have a great time. And, you know, call us on Monday and tell us what it was like. Let's go to Miguel in Brooklyn. Miguel.
Hi, good afternoon. Long-time listener, first-time caller. You guys are great.
Thanks.
I have upset City in the NBA playoffs this season just because of the pandemic and what they've been going through this whole season. I feel like the Hawks are going to beat the Knicks. The Washington Wizards will beat Philly. The Suns will beat the Lakers. It will be upset City just because of what's been going on and how the season has gone this year.
Well, I think that it probably lends to a little bit more. And I think that this Laker team, Miguel, I don't know if you agree, Don, it has a lot of the same feel to me as the Knicks team that went to the finals and finished eighth under Van Gundy. An injury-laden season that pushed them down in the standings, so they get in as the last seed, but they're not truly a last seed. So if LeBron is LeBron and Anthony Davis stays healthy and Schroeder plays like Schroeder can play, that's as good a team as any in the West, so I don't look at that as an upset.
No.
I haven't even seen the odds yet. Are they favored over the Suns, or are they underdogs?
I believe they are.
They're favored.
If I'm not mistaken, I thought I saw before the play-in that the Lakers
are actually
the favorite to come out of the West.
Yep.
Out of the whole West. I mean, they're definitively favored in the series against the Suns. That's a good question. Are they favored to come out of the entire conference? But if they're favored to beat the two seed in the first round, yeah, they have to be the favorite in the conference.
Gonna be great.
It's not like if they were playing Utah, they wouldn't be favored against Utah.
I think they'd be favored against anybody. If LeBron James is healthy, why wouldn't they be favored against anybody?
They right now on BetMGM, NBA Western Conference, coming out of the Western Conference, conference winner, the Lakers are plus 180. Next up, the Clippers at plus 260.
All right.
Jazz plus 325. So they've got the best odds to come out of the conference. So that would not be an upset. The Suns are at plus 850.
I almost feel a little bad for Chris Paul. So, you know, he always seems to just fall short no matter how many great players he has around him. Now he pushes his team to levels, and if he didn't get hurt with the Rockets, they probably go to the finals. But if he loses in the first round on a team that finished with the second seed.
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
That's not good. You know, somehow they'll put it on him, and it shouldn't be on him.
Can I tell you, though, I think there's great money to be put on the Suns right now.
Yeah, there's money to be made if you want to take that chance, yeah.
I don't think the Lakers are playing possum. I don't think the yes, LeBron has been unavailable, and he's probably been precautionary. But that said, man, this Suns team is loaded. More loaded than the Lakers. I mean, at least on a depth level, more loaded than the Lakers.
Lakers know how to win, though. I mean, you can't dismiss what happened last year. I think Caruso's playing better. They've got a lot of weapons. They really do. I think it's going to be a fun series, but I will give you this. If LeBron's healthy, I think they beat the Suns. Let's go to John in Massapequa. John.
Hey, Michael, Don. Big fans. Peter, you too.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you guys think Julius Randle has any chance of re-signing with the Knicks next year.
Well, he's already signed. I mean, so he's signed for a third year. So the chance is 100%. It's whether or not he is extended. So we'll have to see. You know, he could choose to be extended at the end of this season if the Knicks offer it. He won't get as much money as he would get if he waited after next season. But he's definitely coming back. There's no worries about that. Let's go to Kenny in New Jersey. Kenny.
What's up, fellas? What's up?
How you doing?
Hey, look. Hey, I called for you, Mike.
Okay.
Mike, how do you think that Nets game, I mean, the Nets team is so intriguing when they got three out of the top five players in the league? There's no intrigue there. They should win the championship.
Well,
you know, it'd be more of a shock if they don't win it.
Well, that's,
you know,
one of the things that makes it intriguing. And the other thing is, I look at it, Kenny, as this. This is what intrigues me, as I said earlier. it's kind of intriguing because it's a referendum on chemistry and how needed it is. So you've got three superstar players. Superstar players. And that's not like over-the-top praise. They are great. They're three of the better players in the history of the game. They haven't played together, essentially. They've played 8 out of 72 games together. What does chemistry mean? This will blow chemistry into the sky. Take your Bunsen burner and go home, because if they can win a championship having played 8 games together, you're gonna have load management forever after this. That's what intrigues me. How well will they play? Even Steve Nash said, I'm not worried about them offensively. I'm worried about what they could do because they haven't played together defensively. We'll ask Sean Marks about that as well. But that's what's intriguing to me.
Now, Michael, before we go to break, can I got to deliver a message to one of our listeners who's dealing with a situation right now.
Sure.
I want to show love from the three of us to Francesca Fontanelli, who is from Albany. She is a huge fan of the show. She particularly loves ENN, so she has tremendous taste. She's also a huge Yankee fan. She was in a serious car accident back on May 7th. She's been in the hospital recovering. And I just wanted to show her all the love in the world and appreciation. I heard she is an awesome, amazing graphic designer and human being. She has tremendous taste in radio. And I just wanted to show her some love.
Yes, love from me. Love, I'm sure, from Don, too.
And Michael, I'd also like, if you can, to put in a word and see if Judge can hit a home run for her tonight. Thank you.
You know, that's hard to do, as Paul O'Neill said to Kramer.
I know.
This is how Don shows love. He's done it for years at holidays, at Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter. He makes lists out. So this is for you. Don will have a list coming up in just a moment as a get better soon wish to you. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg and you, Vesti at 3, Thibodeau at 3:30. Sean Marks at 4. Yeah, we're going heavy and deep right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, everybody. It's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
Well, guys, I wanted to try to be topical. Today, Peter will appreciate this, would have been Notorious B.I.G.'s 49th birthday.
That's exactly right. Can you believe that? 49.
It's amazing because this is a Notorious Big Ticket Friday, too.
That's right. Wow. So it all kind of really comes together.
Cheap and in poor taste. Just kidding. Continue.
Sorry.
Wasn't in the greatest taste, but I
didn't say it was notoriously big. I said it was a notorious big.
Now, this one is just for fun, guys, but it's the Daily Don top 5 hip-hop rap songs. My top 5 favorite. Okay? So I'm just total preference, but you guys know me, and I brought up a lot of these songs on the air, so it shouldn't come as that much of a surprise. Don LaGreca's top 5 hip-hop rap songs, my favorite.
All right, so I'm going to just lay out because I have no idea.
Why would you just lay out?
I don't know. I don't know.
Michael, you know
songs.
One.
Who are you?
You know one.
I don't. I really don't.
Here's a hint. It's named after a man who's featured on my new single.
That's right.
Marcus Smart.
No.
Close.
And I spell it out.
It's, of course, M-E-T-H-O-D, the Method Man.
And it is number 5.
Oh, number 5?
That was actually Wu-Tang, not me doing it. That was off of Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers 1993, Method Man, number 5.
I just want to also say on this anniversary of Biggie's birthday, sorry, not his birthday, 49th, isn't it crazy when someone who passes away at 24, so like you always see him as a kid, would have been 49. It's
right.
Just so strange. Okay. There's an Ice-T song on this list.
Oh, sure.
The question is, what is that song that you chose?
Now, just a hint, it's not your favorite, it's my favorite.
Right, I know. My favorite. Although my favorite Ice-T song is the one that you quote the most. And that is New Jack Hustler.
That's right, but it's not that one.
Is it OG Original Gangster?
No.
Hold on. Is it?
Well, gotta think about my rock sensibilities, right?
But it's not a Body Count song.
No, no. But it, they Sabbath is sampled in the song. I think it's his best song, best work, honestly. And it's number one.
Is it from Rhyme Pays?
No. It's from OG Original Gangster, 1991.
It is from OG Original Gangster.
Yes.
I was on the right album. Then it's going to be... Street Killer. I don't know.
No. Midnight!
Oh.
I didn't know what AM/PM was till Nancy started watching the Giants, and I found out that it was a kind of a quick stop out in the West Coast.
There you go.
So midnight, number one.
Now, let's be honest. This is where it gets hard.
I know it does. But I can just rattle it off if you want. I don't want to irritate Michael.
Real quick, can you just give me a basic hint, and then I'll move quickly?
Well, they're all in the same era. All early 90s. One of them is pretty popular. They're all very popular. They all had videos on MTV.
Any Beastie Boys?
Yeah.
So what you want?
That's number two. Peter's doing a great job. Great polls. I need four and three.
I don't know. Give me these.
All right. I gotta say it was a good day.
It was a good day.
Number four.
Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kind of...
That's right.
Messed around and got a triple-double. The only man who keeps track of rebounds and assists in pickup games.
The Lakers beat the Supersonics. It's a good day, Ice Cube from The Predator, 1992. And this one was a mega popular hit in 1990. Right, Mama Say Knock You Out, LL Cool J, 1990. That's number three. So Method Man, number five. I Gotta Say It Was a Good Day, number four. Mama Say Knock You Out, three. So What You Want, two. And Midnight, number one. That's just my preference. I'm not making any kind of historical claims here. You know I'm limited with my hip-hop rap. But these are Don LaGreca's top five favorite hip-hop rap songs.
Let me just put a bow on it by saying it's actually double appropriate that you did that today. Because congratulations going out. Yesterday they broke ground on the Universal Hip Hop Museum in the South Bronx. The true official first ever hip hop museum is coming to the Bronx. They broke ground yesterday. Everyone was there. It was a big event. Nas, Slick Rick, Fat Joe, Bill de Blasio, Ruben Diaz, the whole city was there. So a timely top five, Donald.
Bill de Blasio was a rapper at one point?
I was saying they were rappers there and de Blasio. Though I heard de Blasio did drop a few bars from the message by Grandmaster Flash and Melly Mel.
He dropped a lot of things in the last 12 years.
Oh, wow, that was easy.
It couldn't have been more awkward than him wearing all the Brooklyn Nets.
No, you know that wasn't the worst thing de Blasio did at a press conference this week? The most awkward thing he did was when he did the Shake Shack bit. Did you guys see that?
Oh, I know.
No. Because Shake Shack is doing a thing where if you get vaccinated, you can get a free burger and fries, he wanted to promote it. I got no issues here at all, okay? I'm on board, de Blas. But when he did it, he had fries there. And in the most awkward politician move I've ever seen, he picks up two French fries in his hands, holding those fries, takes a bite of the fries, doesn't finish them, takes a bite of the fries, continues talking, takes a second bite of the fries. There's still French fry in his hand. Who eats fries like that? Why do politicians do the weirdest things?
He ate it like it was the worst thing he could ever possibly eat. Which
I can't believe they're going to make me do this. I'm not going to finish the two French fries. Come on, Bill.
Well, Don mentioned him wearing the Brooklyn Nets stuff, so that leads me seamlessly into the 2021 NBA playoffs. They're coming to Brooklyn, and tickets for round one are on sale now. Make sure at Barclays Center to see the Brooklyn Nets take on the Boston Celtics. Visit brooklynnets.com to purchase your tickets today. So be the first caller right now, 1-888-987-ESPN, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see the Brooklyn Nets versus the Boston Celtics game one. Now, you must be fully vaccinated to be eligible. That means 2 weeks clear of your second shot or first shot in the case of Johnson & Johnson. These are the Brooklyn Nets rules, not our rules. It's all brought to you by the Yes Network and 98.7 ESPN. So those are the Brooklyn Net tickets. So also, listen up, Knicks fans. Sunday on MSG Network, it's game one of the Knicks-Hawks playoff series. So join Mike Breen and Walt Clyde Frazier when Julius Randle and the Knicks host the Hawks. Watch it live Sunday, pregame at 6:30 and tip-off at 7 p.m. on MSG Network, or you could stream it on MSG Go. And download the free-to-play MSG Network's Pick'em app for a chance to win a progressive jackpot. Don, you've actually downloaded this app, right?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Oh, it's a beautiful app.
I use it constantly. Constantly.
He lives on the app, Michael.
Yeah, I heard it's really good.
Come on.
So you can download that, but if you'd like to be there live, you'll need to be fully vaccinated and have to listen to the Michael K. Show today in the 5 p.m. hour. 5 p.m. hour. It's all brought to you by 98.7 ESPN, your home for Knicks playoff basketball. Speaking of basketball, the great, the Hall of Famer, Peter Vesey will join us in just a moment. Tom Thibodeau, the head coach of the Knicks at 3:30. Sean Marks, the GM of the Nets at 4. We've got it for you right here on the K-Show on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kind of have a little bit of a fun stat here. I think you'll like it. But who knows? I can't predict it, but they are part of Diamond Notes on the Michael K. Show, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Okay, so Tony La Russa's first game managing the White Sox was August 3rd of 1979. He replaced player manager Don Kessinger. Do you realize that there are no active Major League Baseball players that had been born on that day? None had been born yet. And neither had three current Major League managers, Rocco Baldelli, Luis Rojas, and Jace Tingler. Lou Brock and Ed Crane, pulled on, were active Major League Baseball players.
Sure were.
Well, and this is for Peter. Michael Jackson's Off the Wall was still 7 days away from being released.
Wow. God, that's good.
So the closest would have been Rich Hill, right?
Yeah, he's the oldest player.
When was he born?
Now, he's managing, La Russa says, Major League games 42 years apart, only the third manager or head coach in the four major sports leagues to do this 40 years apart. It's too hard, but there's one in football and one in baseball. Do you want to guess?
All right, so
that managed like their first game and a game 42 years later.
Well, I would think George Halas.
Yeah, 47 years.
Attaboy.
And the other guys in baseball.
And then baseball, I would say Connie Mack.
Yes, 56 years. You know what, Peter? They don't give these jobs to chimps.
No.
Rich Hill was born March 11th, 1980.
I win! Oh, there you go. There you go.
So the oldest baseball player is only 41. I'm surprised.
Well, now he's not the oldest anymore. Pujols is. Because he became the oldest when Pujols was released. So he's back playing now. Pujols is the oldest.
And he was born on January 16th, 1980.
There you go.
He's still only 41.
Yeah, he's still only 41. Let's go to Andrew in Queens. Andrew.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. First, quickly, before I get to my main point, Peter, I got to say, I've been watching all the A&E documentaries on WWE and whatnot, and you've been absolutely killing all of them. All the insight you're giving, it's phenomenal. So I'm very curious to see what happens with the Bret Hart one and the Foley one, and I think there's one more, too, after that.
I'm actually – the only one left that I'm in, because the Bret Hart one I never got shot, was this Sunday I'm in the Warrior one. So it's
awesome.
Ultimate Warrior biography. Sorry?
That's the one about Paul O'Neill, right?
That's right. The Ultimate Warrior biography, Sunday night, 8 to 10 on A&E. Yeah.
Well, definitely looking forward to it, because you've done a great job giving all the extra insight. So really, really great job. Michael, I got to say, I called you guys, I want to say it was about a month and a half ago, asking about if there was any update about when you guys would be going back out on the road in terms of the broadcast crew and, you know, the Yes crew going out and doing the games out at the stadiums again, and if you ever thought that would happen. But that kind of crossed my mind again when you guys did the no-hitter this past week, you and Paul O'Neill, and you guys did such a great job. And to the unnaked eye, someone that doesn't necessarily watch the games all the time or at least pays attention to how you guys call a game, you guys did a great job. But my main thing as I'm watching it, and you posted the video afterwards of you in the Yes Network booth and, you know, the behind the scenes, you know, as you're calling the final out of the no-hitter. I guess the main thing I'm just curious about is, as a broadcaster that's been doing this for so long, was there anything that you felt that there was missing in terms of a connect, in terms of being at the ballpark, watching it in person compared to watching it on the monitors? And if you felt that there was anything that you could have done better. I mean, I personally don't think you could have done anything better, but is there anything that you thought there was missing in terms of calling the game a monumentous game like that on the monitor compared to watching it and calling it in the stadium?
It's a great question, and I'm going to say this, and I don't – it's not a pat on the back. I don't think that I could have called that game any better in the place. And I know that's the hip thing now. Oh, you miss. I don't think we missed anything. Now, here's the thing that I would want to have different. And here's the thing that is different. So when the Yankees are on the road, now the Yes Network has the best producers and directors and camera people in the game. And that's not hyperbole. We just do. But when the game is on the road, you're taking and in this case, it was the Texas Rangers, a feed. It's called a world feed. And we do the same thing when we do Yankee games here. So it's not cut for the Yankee fan to, like, oh, let's get in on the face of the Yankee bench as he's about to throw the last out. That's up to the Texas Rangers director to do that. Now, we have control of two cameras. And there's no way that the average fan is really getting that, in my opinion. They're not seeing that and go, wow, I wish that Yes was cutting the game. But people within the industry would know that. I think that every director out there is doing the best possible job. And anybody that complains about it is kind of being an ingrate. These are situations that started because of a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic. Now, when we come out of it, I don't know. The Yankees playing the White Sox today, and the White Sox radio broadcasters are here, so they're traveling. Right. And I know the Detroit radio broadcasters are here. But I will tell you this, TV does not travel three people like a radio broadcast. They travel a village. Number one, it's costly. Number two, maybe it's going to be difficult to get hotel rooms for everybody where they would usually be. It's just going to be hard. And I'm not going to say it's not going to happen. It's certainly out there and it can happen. But for people that say that there was a distinct difference to our broadcast of the no-hitter, I'm sorry. I humbly disagree. I would have been pumped up to be there, absolutely. I don't think I could have made a better call. I just don't. Those are today's Diamond Notes, brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit Two by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Do you want to take? What was that, Don?
I got news.
Uh-oh.
The Mets have placed first baseman Pete Alonso on the 10-day injured list.
Oh, my.
Right hand sprain.
That's been bothering him for a while, and he's played through it.
What happened?
He was hit by a pitch.
Oh, it's from the HPP.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a brief timeout. We'll get back to basketball, big basketball weekend. We'll talk more about Pete. We'll give you the Met lineup as well. We've given you the Yankee lineup. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes. Oh, by the way, the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. You're watching us on Yes and listening on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by the Pepe Auto Group. You can trust Mercedes-Benz of White Plains for the life of your car or van. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, a proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. So, Don, before we broke, told us that Pete Alonso was on the IL, and also on the IL is Tommy Hunter, the pitcher who has pitched well and got a hit the other day. He's on with the back problem. And one quick aside, I don't want to make this the whole segment, but, you know, when Tommy Hunter got the hit, which was his first big league hit, a lot of people started to vacillate on the universal DH, and they said, well, this is one of the reasons why you love that pitcher's hit. No. That's one of the reasons why you shouldn't allow pitchers to hit, that it was such a big deal. This guy had never had a hit in his life, hadn't actually swung a bat since high school, and we made a big deal out of it. So general ineptitude is something that excites people. Why should pitchers hit? For the one out of 1,000 pitchers that's actually competent at the plate, and that means hitting like 220, we go nuts over it. I'm sorry. It's not worth it. Tommy Hunter getting that hit is not worth it. And I'll make a guess. He probably hurt his back doing it.
Yeah, you're right. You don't know. And I heard the same thing when Bartolo Colon hit the home run. And listen, those were great moments. I understand that. But I'm willing to sacrifice those moments for the greater good. All right? Because there was a time where I thought the strategy of managers, when do I take my pitcher out, who do I pinch it for, was fun. But that those days are over now. Most of these pitchers don't go deep into games anyway. So I'm just a little frustrated all the time when you're trying to get runs, right, Michael? It's so difficult for teams to score. And then you finally got a good inning going. You got a two-out rally going. You got the bases loaded, two outs, and up comes your pitcher. Rally over. And for the once in 1,000 times that he might get a home run and a grand slam and it becomes a great story, the other 999 times he strikes out, rally killed.
Not worth it.
And also, Peter, too, the way they pitch to the eighth place batter. That's why sometimes you're seeing pitchers bat eighth, is because then that ends up becoming a Punch and Judy hitter who they end up pitching around to try to get to the pitcher. So you're not seeing any offense in the 8 and 9 batters, and it's just time. But you're right. I mean, Alonso being out, just when does it end?
Now,
it looks like Brandon Drury has been up that's going to play first base.
Yeah, this is their lineup, Don. I was just going to mention that. This is their lineup against the Marlins tonight. VR leads off, plays third. Lindor, the shortstop, at second. Cameron Maybin is batting in the 3 spot and playing right field. Dominic Smith is in left cleaning up. Nito is the catcher. By the way, McCann's going to lose this job. Nito's the catcher batting 5th. Peraza, the second baseman, batting 6th. Brandon Drury is playing first base and batting 7th. Fargus is in center field batting 8th. Stroman is pitching right and batting 9th. And you know what, Don? They're in first place.
And they continue to win. The one loss that they had back on Wednesday was the walk-off by Acuna. You know, where they did everything they could to try to hold on to that lead. They got out of a huge jam in the 8th inning. The bullpen was completely spent, and then Acuna hit the home run to win it. So they do not go down easily, that's for sure. But, Michael, over time, if you're going 5-6 regulars out of the lineup, and listen, Cameron Maybin, not that long ago, hit 11 home runs for the Yankees. VR has been very good for them. Drury's a prospect, so maybe they get a little Yankee thing going where some of these prospects come up and they start playing well. But when you have to go any length of time without your best players, then you're not going to be able to hold on the first too long. And the other thing that got people upset, Michael, about Alonso is that he got hit by this pitch 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So they tried to keep it going, and they couldn't. And one of the guys that they have in the lineup that's actually healthy is Lindor, and he's batting 189. So it's a miracle that they're in first place. It's great. They show a lot of heart, a lot of grit. But over time, they're going to have to start getting some guys healthy here. And you just can't keep losing players.
Can I just throw something else out there, Michael?
Let me just throw one other thing in with the Yankee fans. Aaron Hicks scheduled for left wrist surgery. potentially season ending.
Wow. And we knew that might be the case.
Yes.
But so, Dom, when we talked the other day, and Michael, you joined the conversation when you came on also, we talked some about changing the rules, and we were talking about it from the perspective of making the game a better watch. And within that, we talked about moving the mound back. But, guys, did you see the New York Times article today about batters being hit? I mean, it's a pretty unbelievable problem that you don't really see getting better because velocity is not going to decrease.
No.
These are the most hit batters since the 1890s, and we're seeing marquee players getting hit in the face. Like, we didn't really include that in our conversation as a major incentive to potentially move the mound back, but how can you keep this up?
It's scary. Hitting batters is just awful, and I don't think they're doing it on purpose. They just can't command the velocity they have. Now, this is something that's going to impact the Yankees. The Tampa Bay Rays have just traded their shortstop, Willie Adames, to Milwaukee, according to our buddy Jeff Passan. The Rays will be getting pitching back, but this opens the door for Juan DeFranco, the number one prospect in all of baseball, or Taylor Walls or Vidal Brujan. They're calling up Walls right now, so the Rays are loaded at shortstop at the AAA level. Now, the Rays have been playing great baseball and inching up in the AL East, and now Adames is a really good player, but Juan DeFranco is supposed to be otherworldly, so that's something to look at as well. And the other rumor that's out there, Ken Rosenthal reporting that the Yankees are looking into Delino DeShields, who's in the minor leagues for the Texas Rangers, because they're out of outfielders. And now with Hicks out, all of a sudden, Gardner's your everyday center fielder.
Yep.
Wow. Just
no,
wow.
Between injuries, hit batsmen, lack of offense, there's a lot there. And to Peter's point with the getting hit by pitches, Michael, is that, you know, back in the day, if you threw anything but a fastball, it would be, well, you know, wasn't intentional because you would throw something hard. Well, these guys throw hard sliders.
Yeah.
You know, they're throwing sliders in the 90s, and if it doesn't break right, it could hit somebody and hit them hard. So, you know, when you used to get hit by a curveball, I remember when Cone hit Pedro Guerrero with a curveball, and like Guerrero charged the mound, like what a joke it was. You got hit by a curveball, big deal. But now when you get hit by a slider, it is a big deal because these things are breaking like 92 miles per hour, some of these filthy stuff that they're throwing up there. And if they lose command, you're going to get hit.
Now, later on this hour, you're going to get a chance to win tickets to see the Knicks in game one of their series against the Atlanta Hawks. That's Sunday at Madison Square Garden, Sunday night. And there'll be 15,000 people at the Garden. So the Garden is saying that, you know, we can give these tickets away, but only to vaccinated people, because those are the people that are going to be able to make the attendance 15,000. There are certainly seats there for non-vaccinated people, but and attendance at Yankee Stadium today is supposed to go up exponentially as well. So it's been about 10,800 capacity. It's supposed to go way up today. I don't know to what level, but there should be a lot more people in a game against two of the best teams in the game. But I was thinking about this. In the Knicks game, the Knicks are down by one. They've got the ball with 10 seconds left. In all likelihood, it's Julius Randle who's taking the shot. Now, the Atlanta Hawks are going to try to stop that, and they'll double him or whatever. And maybe he rotates the ball and gives it up. Because even Thibodeau made a great point a couple of weeks ago. He said, just because a player's called for you doesn't mean you have to shoot it. It means that you have to, like, expedite the process or proceed and move the ball around. And that's what Julius Randle does so well. That's why he's had so many triple doubles. But then I started to think about this. The Nets are down by one tomorrow night at Barclays Center. I start with you, Peter. Who's taking the shot to win the game? Maybe so, this is part of their greatness, because the Celtics don't know who's going to be taking the shot. Everybody knows Julius Randle is going to probably take the shot, but the Celtics don't know who they will set a shot up for. You've got three great players and Joe Harris, an unbelievable shooter. So who do you see taking the shot?
If I'm Steve Nash, I'm drawing it up for Kevin Durant to always take my final shot. Yet
I'm in lockstep with you.
But part of me could see Kyrie just being the first guy who's like, I want it. And then there's also the possibility that you have people so worried about those three that you're almost guaranteed to get Joe Harris an open look.
That's why he's so valuable.
And he's a knockdown guy if he gets an open look. So, Michael, you're right. That is when we're going to see if they're just absolutely impossible.
Now, that's with all things being equal. I mean, I think a lot of those decisions come down to who's got the hot hand, right?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. If someone's going off.
Yeah.
But Don, how many of these games, if usually it's two of them playing, not three, but in how many of these games do they have the same point total within 5 to 7 points?
I don't know. There hasn't been many games.
Even if it's just Harden and Kyrie or KD and Kyrie, it's always one has 33, one has 26. It's so rare that one has 45 and one has 15. They're both usually gunning.
Sometimes it just comes down to, all right, maybe Durant has more points than Kyrie, but Kyrie's hit his last four shots and he's feeling it. You know, there could be those moments. But, you know, listen – It's a good thing to have. It's a good problem to have, right? You're sitting there drawing up the play, and there's a bunch of different places you can go. But what do you do? This is the better question to me. What do you do if you're Steve Nash and all three want to take the shot?
Well, then they almost have to decide it on themselves because you can only double one of them. You can't double two of them. If you double two of them, then, you know, four guys are going to be open or three guys are going to be open. So listen, I think Peter said it best. All things being equal, I want Durant taking the shot.
Yeah.
I have a big announcement, by the way.
Oh, no. Another injury?
We will have the NBA playoff announcers coming up during ENN.
No way. Okay? How'd you get this?
Well, there are some gaps. I have all of Saturday. I might have to put Andrew and Anthony to work with me on filling in some of the gaps on Sunday. But we have a full Saturday lineup for everyone.
Full board.
And Don, at some point, we got to talk this Islanders-Penguins game and the madness with Tavares last night.
Yeah, that was ugly.
What? That was – and he sent out a message. It looks like he's okay. But
yeah, he's out of the hospital, but he's out indefinitely. He did suffer a concussion. I thought he broke his neck.
I mean, if you guys didn't see it, it was basically just an absolute freak accident where Tavares ends up going down to his knees – just as opposing player comes across and his knee just comes. I mean, Don, it was instantaneous. It was a perfect – it could have only happened in that split second.
They put his, bloody face on the front page of the Toronto Sun.
I saw that. What was the headline again?
I don't remember the headline, but it was more like to the game.
No, it was bad. It was a bad headline. It was like Captain – down or it was a New York Post
Captain
hold my
crunched.
Beer
Captain
crunched,
crunched
yeah, a New York Post hold my beer moment
and also still
Sun.
Had to get in like the awful loss right like that in the grand scheme of things that you lost game one. I think they can recover, but God, I really thought it was going to be worse.
All right, some Yankee injury news. Clint Frazier, who's been out with neck stuff. That's actually what they say, neck stuff. He took BP today on the field and told Boone he was available. He's not in the lineup. Zach Britton, due to throw a bullpen Sunday, could begin rehab assignment next. And Giancarlo Stanton, with a quad injury, is progressing, could be active for the next series. But then you have the bad news on Hicks, who's going to have surgery and should be out for the year. And I got this note, Don. The 9 starters that the Mets had on opening day, 7 of them are on the IL.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. People want to talk. People want to talk. Yes, they have things to say, especially Spike in New Jersey via Florida.
Good afternoon, my friends. I couldn't be happier today. I just wish Sunday would come. And props to getting my friend Peter Vesey, who we shared a love of dogs and rescuing with. And, boy, I got a lot of stories with him that I could tell off the air. What a great read. Hoops du jour to me. I couldn't wait to open that paper because he always touched the humanity. You know what I mean, Michael.
A lot of players were afraid to open that paper.
Well, let me tell you, there was the stories about the humanity. I would go to the archives and dig them all up because he touched on things that just beyond sports, well beyond sports. But as we go with the Knicks, here's my observation. Atlanta has 9 guys that average double figures or more. The big pain in the ass on Atlanta, I always forget his name, Capella. He's going to be a pain in the ass. He just will. I told Andrew in the pre-pickup, and I think Andrew was a little, a little confused when I said, I think Trae Young's a very low percentage three-point shooter, and he's 34%, which is below league average, I believe. The problem with Trae Young is he penetrates and he's a great, great passer. So you got to beat him up a little bit. You got to, you know what we have to do. And I say we because I think we're all pulling for the Knicks. Alfred Payton, he can say whatever he wants, Tibbs. Boy, he's diplomatic, isn't he?
Yep.
Alfred Payton is
certainly more diplomatic than
Vesey. Right. 2-minute warning for Alfred Payton. He's been miserably defensively the last couple of weeks. And lastly, and thanks for the time, and enjoy every game. There's not a bad one in the bunch, boys. I can't wait to watch the Portland series. I can't wait to watch a lot of them. But in regard to the last thing you threw out about who's going to take the last shot, I believe it was Peter or you, Michael. What? Durant's the guy to take the shot. But if someone's doubled and Harden has the ball, Harden's going to go right to the rack. Because no one finishes better than him, and he can get a foul in a second. So it's a pleasant problem to have, and I think Westbrook wanted to play Philadelphia instead of Brooklyn. That's just my take on it. I'd love to hear your opinion.
Well,
have a great weekend,
the,
boys.
We talked about that a little earlier. It certainly looked like that because, Peter, he was a different player in the second play-in game than he was in the first. I mean,
well,
different player.
They were a different team. They just, from the very beginning, they looked like a different team. I mean, they by the second quarter, you could kind of tell the Wizards had this game. And then by the third quarter was absolutely dreadful. I actually kind of felt bad, guys. I mean, Fratello hadn't done a game for a very long time. You know, Marv has been doing a great job, but obviously he hasn't worked with the Czar in forever. And they're calling this game on monitors, not together.
Right.
Not at the game. And the game was absolutely dreadful. If you turned it on in, like, the fourth quarter, guys, it sounded like there wasn't – I mean, when Inside the NBA started afterwards, Charles Barkley said, Adam Silver, why are you trying to sabotage this league? Because this game was just so – it was so unbearable at the end.
Somebody wants to apologize. I don't know if he wants to apologize. Let's go to Anthony in Union Beach. Anthony.
Hi. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Peter, this call's for you. I called you yesterday. I called you a moron. I wanted to apologize. You're not a moron. I think you're very good at what you do. I'm a big fan of you in the mornings and in the afternoons. But you went after Michael, and Michael's given me so many great memories over the year. I apologize.
Wow, that's really nice of you, Anthony.
Can you hit the music? Anthony, I spent some time being unhappy with what happened yesterday. And I didn't like the way I represented myself. I didn't like the way I handled that moment.
And your family.
Yeah, I embarrassed my family. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate you. Bear was mortified today. And I sincerely appreciate you calling up to apologize. Apology accepted. Right back at you. Let's move on to another day.
I love it. Anthony, is that good?
That's great. Thank you, guys. Peter, again, I'm even a big fan of the wrestling. More so brought it up because I knew it'd get under your skin.
Wow.
But
well, you know what?
I love the apology. You guys are awesome. All
you're actually a wrestler.
Thank you, guys. Unlike everyone else, it goes Michael, Peter, sorry, Don, you're third.
See,
wow.
I like it.
Woo.
I like that. Now, real quick.
I was going to call back and apologize to Don on Monday.
Yeah, Anthony, you're actually a wrestling fan?
No, he's gone.
He said that, though.
Yeah, he said he was a wrestling fan.
He just wanted to get under your skin.
He said he knew what button to push with you.
I'm considering reneging accepting the apology. I mean, that is such a bad guy thing to do.
Wow.
But thank you, Anthony.
Let's take a brief timeout. We still have Nick tickets to give away, which we're excited about. You should be as well. A lot of stuff to do. We'll take phone calls and a big ENN from what I'm hearing. Wow. We just got word that we're going to have a pair of tickets to give away to game two between the Knicks and the Hawks at MSG. We'll give away that pair on Monday's TMKS. We'll give away a pair Monday and then another pair on Tuesday. This is great. This is great. This is the place to see the Knicks. Hear the Knicks. By the way, that Knick game on Sunday, right here on 98.7, so we're excited. Stick around. Big ticket Friday, big story Friday. A lot of people going on the IL. We're on top of everything. Our ESPN resources, they're digging into every single crevice to find out the information that you crave to go into the weekend. Right here on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.